I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So this Ash Wednesday is an interesting one. Not that they all aren't interesting in their own way, but today it coincides with another sort of day. I don't know if you picked up on it. Today is also Valentine's Day, and it's not too often that the two end up sharing the same sort of day. And at first, they can seem incredibly contrasted, right? I mean, we start Lent on the day that we go and buy chocolates and feast together, right? There's the day where we tell each other, you're gonna die, and also, you're my sweetheart. These things that don't really seem very romantic. I had a community member ask me if this year, instead of tracing a cross on people's foreheads, if I would do a heart. And I said no. but it kind of exposes what we think of as this sort of these 2 days that don't seem to go together. Of course, Valentine's Day, as with many U.S. observances, have become what they really never were intended to be. St. Valentine has a day on the calendar, which is February 14th, and there's a lot of traditions that have built up around him. He's considered the saint that's associated with courtly love, as well as, not courtly love, not Courtney love. I want to make that clear. Courtly love. And also beekeeping, apparently. I guess because it's also sweet on Valentine's Day. And so there's a lot that we don't know about him. There were a lot of traditions that grew up about where he was thought to have married people in secret because Christian marriage was not permitted at that time during the Roman Empire. And ultimately, he was martyred for his faith in the 3rd century. And so these traditions have built up around that, and it kind of overshadows the day. I've experienced this as well as in my own home. You know, my son today had the opportunity at his school to both receive ashes and to participate in the Valentine's Day party, and you can guess which one he chose. He was way more excited about the chocolate and the sweets and the games and the Valentines and the stickers than he was on having some chaplain put ashes on his forehead. It doesn't quite connect for him. And we can feel that way too on a day like today. It can be hard to sort of get into the Lenten mood when there's all of these festivities going around. We can find ourselves asking, like the famous songstress on Ash Wednesday, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it, right? Well, I think a lot more than we might think. Ash Wednesday, because of its focus on our mortality and because of its focus on our sin and the need for repentance and beginning a time of a season of penitence and repentance and self-examination, it can at first not seem like it's a time that's really rooted in love. It can feel like it's actually a time that's more rooted in things like guilt or like shame, because we're thinking about sin a lot. But I want to submit that actually Ash Wednesday and Lent as an entire season itself is deeply rooted in God's love for us. The collect that we prayed at the beginning of our service says this, and I'm really grateful to a priest colleague who pointed this out to me, that right at the beginning of our prayer, we pray, Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. You hate nothing. You see, there's this baggage that can kind of build up for us. For those of us who have spent some time in church and perhaps in different church traditions that tend to heavily emphasize our guilt before God, you know, the things that we do wrong, that there can be this sense of shame that can build up over time. And some of you may be familiar with this language. There's a popular-level psychologist and researcher, her name's Brené Brown, who has brought this concept of shame more into the forefront of our conversation today. And she has a really great way of distinguishing between shame and guilt. I think it's a very helpful thing for us, especially on a day like today, where we are focusing on, in some ways today, our guilt. We will be having a long, extended time of confession, a litany, where we will name all of the different ways, the many ways that we fall short of the standard that God has set for us. And so she says, guilt says, I've done something wrong. And that's right, you know, guilt helps us, we kind of carry that. It's, you know, I stole a cookie from the cookie jar, and I got caught, and now I feel guilty about that, because I now know and am confronted with the fact that I did something wrong. That's guilt. Shame is, I made a mistake, and there's something wrong with me. I'm wrong. I'm messed up. I'm deficient. That's shame. And there can be a really fine line between the two. And Ash Wednesday is an important time. Lent is an important time for us to recognize that what we are facing is not that there is something deeply wrong with us in God's eyes. God does not hate us. It almost rings differently to our ears, doesn't it? Like, we hear God loves you, and we hear that a lot, and that sounds very familiar. Somehow it sings in a different key when we say, God doesn't hate you. It sounds different to us. Or, if I can quote my spiritual director, she'd like to remind me of this often, God doesn't just love you, God likes you. God is pleased with you. It doesn't mean that we don't do things that are displeasing at times. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. But this time of Lent, as we begin it together, is a reminder for us to be reconnected in relationship to that God that loves us. And the way that we do that is by naming the things that disrupt that relationship, that make those things, our relationship with God, not work. I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but if you've had someone that you're very close with, perhaps a spouse or a partner or a close friend, family member, and you know that you've done something wrong that has messed up your relationship, you've betrayed a trust, or you've said something at the top of your voice that you really shouldn't have said, and it really hurt them. And there's this distance that can be created with you, and you can feel nervous about actually naming and owning that thing or divulging that truth to them. And there can be some anxiety that's built up in that. Have you ever had that moment where you'd finally just name it with the other person? Hey, I just really lost my cool. Or, I just want to let you know, I overspent on the coffee budget this month. I'm not saying that happened for me this month. But hey, I just have to tell you that I messed up and I did this. And what it feels like to have that person respond to you in love, it's okay. Now, we've maybe had the experience of what it's like to have that response not be in love. But what God does with us is receives us because God is merciful. That's what the scripture goes, or the collect goes on to say. That God forgives the sins for those of us who are penitent. And so we ask that God creates a new heart in us, that we worthily lamenting our sins, acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. That's what stands available to us when we confess, when we agree with God, the ways that we have fallen short, the ways that we don't meet the standards that have been set before us, the ways that we have sinned and what we have done and what we have left undone. And that's love that's available to us. I think the challenge for us on Ash Wednesday or on any time where we are confronted with this opportunity to name and own our sins, is that we are often the ones that want to draw back and withdraw from God rather than come before God's presence in love, in hope that we will be forgiven. when we receive in just a moment this sign of ashes on our forehead, it is a reminder of our mortality, right? It's, I'll be saying to you, you know, remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. And yes, it's about mortality. But I want us to also imagine or hold in mind as we receive those ashes this evening that it is a reminder of who we are and who God is. That yes, we are dust, but we are dust that has been, had God's spirit life breathed into us. That our very existence in this world, the thing that sustains us along, is actually God's love. That is what we are dependent upon, and that is what we are saying when we receive those ashes. Yes, we are dust, and we will return to dust because we are mortal. We can't fix our condition, and God is still with us, and God still loves us. So as you come forward in just a few moments to receive ashes, and as you come forward also to receive communion, I pray that you would come forward with a sense that you are coming into the presence of love, stepping forward to be with God as you are, with all that you bring and all that you don't, trusting that God doesn't make anything that God hates. In fact, God loves you deeply, perfectly, and wholly. And so you can come forward. There's a poem that I often like to read every Lent. That is the last poem that is included in a collection by George Herbert, one of my favorite poets, who's an Anglican priest. And it's called Love, number 3. And it imagines this picture of what it might feel like for us to want to come into the presence of love, but feel a sense not just of guilt, but also of shame, as if there's something wrong with us. So hear these words, beautiful, beautiful depiction of that. Love bade me welcome, and yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here, love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful? Ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Love bids us welcome. Love invites us to the feast. Love invites us to the fast of Lent. So may we come forward believing that we are truly loved, truly welcomed, not just regardless of our brokenness, but exactly because of it.